I am pretty certain we've got our music knowledge out of the way as we continue to roll through. It's already 8 o'clock, fellas. Sun's finally coming up on a Friday. Red Friday here on 96.5 The Fan. Chiefs Niners 325. Game of the week across the lovely United States of America. Captain Jack by Billy Joel. Is that song about alcohol or heroin?
No, yeah, it's... That's another one.
It's heroin, right?
Yeah, it's about
one final push.
Yeah.
And you'll be flying or whatever it is. This is my favorite segment. This is one that is self-deprecating, egotistical, brutal.
Boy, if we get it right, we're like, if we get it wrong, we're like, we're idiots.
It's great either way.
So let's fire it up. Let's get into the script.
It's all brought to you by Foaling. Don't forget, every Friday in October, free Foaling Fridays. And my wife just said, I think I'm going to have my 50th birthday party at Foaling. So if you want to have a Foaling party, feel free to book some lanes.
I'm
around
Ubering
and five
to that
out.
One. I'm Ubering to that party.
Yeah, all right.
Jen turns 50. You better believe I'm coming with just a bow tie and no shirt.
That's fine. She'll love it. Actually, you have to wear 50s gear, I think, if she wants everybody to dress like they're going to be like in their 50s or from the 50s.
From the 50s. Okay.
From the 50s. Like
so I can dress like I was in the movie Grease?
Yeah.
Like doo-wop-y.
Doo-wop-y. Yeah, that kind of thing. Poodle skirts and, you know, your tight shirts with your cigarettes rolled up in your sleeve, you know, the
now get in there, make me some food, damn it. You see, get in there. You're
that's
late.
The 20s, the 1920s, back when Josh was 50.
I'm just gonna Eddie Haskell that party.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
My God, Mrs. Sanderson, you look really beautiful. Your eyebrows really pop with your hairstyle today.
That's exactly right. I love playing the role of Eddie Haskell. My mother-in-law calls me that. I don't know why. So anyway, what's in the script brought to you by Foaling over at 435 in State Line. All right, I'm gonna get this thing started. Here's what's gonna happen on Sunday. The 49ers will receive. They'll move right down the field. They'll grab an early lead. Whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, the 49ers will have an early lead. It will be one of two drives where the 49ers come away with points. Travis Kelce, still being compared to George Kittle for whatever reason, will have a good day. He'll get about 80 yards receiving and a touchdown. The star of the offense, though, Kareem Hunt. He will make the red zone offense finally click after the last 2 years of that red zone offense riding that struggle bus, man. Hunt will also get close to 30 carries in the game as the Chiefs are trying to mask for that kind of lack of wide receivers at this point in time. Worthy will have one big play over 20 yards. Noah Gray will grab a red zone touchdown as well. And Chris Jones will come up with a late sack of Brock Purdy to ice the game for Kansas City as they move to 6-0.
Not mad about it. Macadoodle, you want to get into your script?
Let's do it. All right, so this game screams to me an Xavier Worthy breakout. So when we play this team, I feel like we got a lot of motions, a lot of window dressing. Nick Bosa's looking one way, then the ball's going the other way. We're keeping him out of the game, right? We're keeping that defense thinking way too much.
So are the referees.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. All the holding that the refs didn't call, exactly. But who plays well against this team on the Chiefs historically? Well, Mecole Hardman. I think now that's going to be Xavier Worthy kind of filling in to that Hardman role. You know, jet sweeps, eye candy, a lot of speed in those motions. He's got at least 70 yards and a touchdown with one big play. And then Kareem Hunt, you heard it from Bob. I think he's going to have a nice day as well. We'll start the convo actually about what we do with him once Pacheco comes back. I think that's how well Kareem Hunt will look.
That's going to be the conversation on Monday. And that's a good conversation to have because, you know, when the Chiefs won that first Super Bowl, they didn't have one running back. They had multiple running backs. And that's what you need in this league is you see with the injuries that mount up and guys get old, like, you know, Carson Steele fumble. So you need as many opportunities and options that you can have at that running back position. Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco together are going to be nice.
It's a damn good 1-2 punch. And they need multiple iterations of this Chiefs offense. Well, that's just another one. Thunder and some more thunder. And I think in a plot twist, the Chiefs run defense looks maybe the worst it has, which is a damn high bar. But I think they're actually going to allow 70 yards on the ground, which isn't a lot. I just think they're actually going to get 70 yards allowed. Debo will have a good run. And Brock Purdy will throw a pick near the end of the game to Justin Reed. Chiefs win 24-20.
Did you guys see the tweet that Justin Reed put on X yesterday?
Mm-mm.
Oh my goodness, it was so good. I'm gonna read it to you word for word if I can find it because I did retweet it yesterday. Justin Reed, I just want every opponent I play to turn on the tape and know that I will lay the hammer down on you every chance I get.
Did Mitch Holtz hack his account?
Justin Reed could go out there and destroy some people this weekend out in San Francisco.
Love it.
No better task than this weekend when he gets Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, and George Kittle. So
that's right.
Live up to the hype. My script is A little bit of similar to both, but it is my own, and I stand on it. I, like Bob, think San Francisco gets early points because the Chiefs always seem to give up a first drive touchdown or field goals, and then the Chiefs respond with points in this game. It'll be Mahomes to many targets this game. I think this is one of those mini target games of Patrick Mahomes. I think seven different people have a reception. Kareem Hunt is big in this game, but it's not until the late third, early fourth. I look at this game as a let my starter get me to seven and let my bullpen clean it up. I think that Kareem Hunt can be that guy that you bring your closer in the eighth.
When was the last time a starter went seven in baseball these days?
Garrett Cole, game five, or game four, whatever it was. But no, I think that the Kareem Hunt gets big and gets going late into the third and then most of the fourth, and that's where you see a lot of his yards take over. I like this D-line to get at least 2.5 sacks total, with 95 getting at least 1.5 sacks this weekend. I also think this is another game where we see the Chimari Connors disguised Spagnola blitz late sack in the game against Brock Purdy, and I do believe the Chiefs win this game. I believe it's close till the end. 24-13, Chiefs beat the Niners.
All righty. Bob, we got a score from you.
35-0.
Yeah, as I say, you should know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My fault. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Wasn't 60.
Yeah. Nope, 35-0.
35-0. No, 35-2. They get a late safety in this game. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, 35-6. They'll miss the extra point or something like that, you know, early on. Because
they don't have a kicker.
No, every team scores early on against the Chiefs. Like, Spagnuolo is the ultimate tease, right? All right, we got something working. Yeah, that's the last time you're going to see our side of the field. Like, it's not even don't let them in the red zone. Like, Spags doesn't even allow these teams to cross midfield after that first drive. So they'll get something on the first drive, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, and the Chiefs will play from behind as they always do, and they'll find a way to win this thing. And I don't think it's going to be one that, you know, we're going to be sweating out a lot, but maybe we will, because we sweat out every game now here in Kansas City.
I didn't really sweat that game out last week.
No, not last week. Now, the New Orleans game, you didn't really sweat
Chargers game, I was just like, of course, Justin Herbert's going to play like a machine on one leg.
Yeah.
And he did. He was decent.
Oh, this should be a fun one. It's got, obviously, the Super Bowl rematch, which really doesn't matter, but that's how it's going to be billed. Then you got Tom Brady calling the game this weekend, which is obviously big to see, you know, how he's going to handle his childhood team versus the, you know, the guy who could take away the greatest of all time from Tom Brady. So I think there's a lot of intriguing things, you know, with this game this weekend, and it's the only game on in that 3:25 window on Fox, so the entire country is going to be settled in watching the Chiefs and the 49ers.
Yeah, we should all give Tom Brady a grade on Monday.
We can.
Yeah, but I think everybody wants him to be bad, right? Like, and I wonder if people can allow him to be good, right?
I don't know if everybody wants him to be bad.
I think people are rooting against him because I think so many people liked Greg Olsen. Right.
Oh, yeah.
As both a broadcaster and a person. And I think there's a lot of people that feel he got screwed. The other thing is they're paying Tom Brady $375 million to do this job. Right. OK. And we all resent people who make a lot of money. It's the American way. But Tom Brady's getting paid $375 million over 10 years to do this job. Mm-hmm. And he's not even really able to do the job because he now owns the Raiders. So he really can't participate in any of the stuff that actually is the job of talking to the coaches and going to the practice and all that kind of stuff. How good can Tom Brady be compared to the other color analysts that are getting that insightful inside information that I do believe helps them in their broadcasts? Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see how that is all going to play out. I think the NFL probably at the end of the year needs to tell Tom Brady, you need to do one or the other here. I know you already bought into the Raiders, so how about you give this TV thing a break so we can have people that can actually do the job to their best of their ability in the broadcast booth.
I'm okay if Tom's good. I mean, we don't have a lot of good color commentators. Like, you mentioned Greg Olsen. I think Trent Green's pretty good with Kevin Harlan, but we don't really get a lot of him because they get a lot of noon games due to Kevin's schedule.
Right.
Because he does Monday Night Football, and then once basketball starts, he's everywhere. Mark Sanchez hasn't been great.
No.
But it'll be interesting to see how Tom Brady is against Patrick Mahomes in a game like where he's going to have to call a game where he's like, man, I literally just gave this guy the torch. Mm-hmm. And now I'm watching him against my childhood team in my childhood state like do this.
I want to see Tom be good as well. I mean, I look
I'm not
around
rooting
and,
against him. To
no,
be bad,
but I think people are rooting against Tom Brady because it's Tom Brady, right? Like this guy's got everything: supermodel wives, facelifts. You know,
I think rooting against him as opposed to not giving him a chance. I think is the not giving him a chance. I think is where it's at because my late great mother, she even said, she goes, "I can't stand that effing Tom Brady." Like that was what she would always say. But I think that's where we're at. Like, I think with Tom Brady, it's like everyone knows that, like, what he was and who he is and what he did to the Chiefs. So it's like, does that sort of thing kind of eat at you? To me, it doesn't. Cause now it's like, well, yeah, you might've done that, you know, to the Chiefs. You can't do that anymore. And now you have to watch it all unfold and maybe take over what your dynasty was. So to me, I'm interested to see how he talks about the Chiefs, because I think for a while we were interested in how Romo could like predict what was going to happen or if he was, you know, this guy's going to come down here, Jim, they're going to throw a screen and then he's going to try to get a block from this guy. And then you watch the play and you're like, he nailed that.
Yeah.
And that was, to me, the cool part about Romo.
Yep.
Now it's like overly modulated and it's ran its course and gotten
stale.
He's
not doing that anymore.
Because he's not doing his homework, according to CBS.
Right, exactly.
At least last year. So Tom Brady, who I think at the start of his broadcasting career, which I think we do this in radio too, you kind of over-prepare. And you think you got to get to every single point, otherwise it's not successful. You might hit on something that's very, very intriguing. Just stick with it, and less can be more. It's like Costa Vida burritos. Great place. You don't need all the toppings they present. Less is more in a place like that. With Tom Brady in this game, just relax. Act like you're on the sideline watching the game unfold, but you're speaking to millions.
Yeah, and I think when you start to think about some of the good color analysts that are out there and who's really, really at the top of their game, look, I know people don't like Chris Collinsworth, but he's really good.
Yes.
I mean, he's really, really good at what he does. I think Kirk Herbstreit's fantastic as well. The fact that he can juggle both the college and the pro game and be very good on both of those broadcasts, I think Kirk Herbstreit's a really good color commentator for all of this. Troy Aikman, I'm not a huge fan of.
Really, I like Troy a lot.
You do like Troy?
Past few years.
Yeah.
Didn't like him before. I think he's gotten a lot better.
He's gotten better.
See, he criticizes the refs now.
Yeah, that is true. He does do that.
Yeah,
which
not
Tom's not allowed to do.
Exactly.
He's not allowed to do that. And and that's where I wonder, like, can you effectively do this job? Because as we know, look, as much as we don't want them to be, the referees are a big part of these games now in the NFL. Everybody's focused on the referees, especially when it involves the Chiefs. They all believe that the referees are out here making these calls for the Chiefs. Will Tom Brady be able to say, boy, that was a really bad call by Carl on the field on Sunday? Or is he not allowed to even say that? Because the referees do play an impact in this game. We hear it in every game, whether it's Jacksonville and New England doing their thing on Sunday in London.
Monday night was clouded by referee.
Yeah. Like, so it's a part of the game. As much as we don't want them to be, officials are a major part of this game. And what's that going to do for Tom Brady? Is it going to leave, you know, Kevin Burkhardt in there just to rip the officials by himself and throw it to Tom Rinaldi, who's going to try to rip him on the field, or Aaron Andrews? Like, it's not going to work that way. So I think you're putting Tom Brady in a situation that's not winnable for Tom Brady at this point.